weakening, does that mean she's thinking she's going to? Okay. We would like to have you back at Christmas time to play one of the Advent Sundays, please. Okay? Because that would be really special to have you play with, the, you know, on the hymns and stuff. Oh, that would be so pretty. Yeah. It's a deal. You just said yes, so it's a deal. Mom, you heard it. It's a deal, okay?
Write a deal.
Somebody write us a contract. This morning, our scripture reading is taken again, once again, from James. This passage is the reason that Martin Luther would not allow James to be put in the Lutheran Bible. This passage is also one that is not particularly liked by the Roman Catholic Church, and it is not one that the Presbyterians preach too terribly much either, and I grew up as a Presbyterian, so I can say that. Never once in all my growing up years did I hear this preached. I'm going to preach it. So, and the reason is that it seems to be saying works is the only thing that saves you. And the theologians, including Martin Luther, were very worried that people would misunderstand that. It wasn't that they didn't like the theology, you know, it was just they were concerned that people would misunderstand that. So, from James. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or a sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill, and that person doesn't supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by the works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works. And faith was brought to completion by his works. Thus, the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Can I read that again? You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise was Rahab, the prostitute, also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. May God bless the reading, the hearing, but mainly the understanding of what James is saying here. Faith without works is dead. But work without faith is good work. You know, there are a lot of wonderful humanists out there in the world. There are a lot of really good people out in the world. Very giving, very loving, very nice people. They don't believe in anything higher than themselves. They don't believe that God created believe that God sustains anything. They will believe different things. This is where everything kind of gets separated. Some people believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and then God left it for us to figure out the rest. Some believe that rock and metal and light and energy crashed together and earth came out of it, but there was never a God that was involved. And that everything that we have is because of our labor, because of our brains, because of our inventiveness, because of our creativity. We can sit and debate this all day, but basically we're sitting in a church, and so I'm just going to say I don't believe that and leave it there. I get to do that. I'm the minister of the church. I can just say I don't believe that. I truly believe that there is a power far greater than ourselves. I believe the name of that power can be anything you want it to be. God, Yahweh, Creator. I believe that that power sent another, a part of its own power, onto the earth, and we named him Jesus. And he was a part of the Almighty's power. And Jesus came to the earth and taught us how to be, how to believe, and the miracles that will happen when we do. He taught us that faith does have a place in our lives. But he also taught us that works have a place in our faith life. It's not either or. And that's what the theologians were so worried about, whether it's the Roman Catholic Church or the Lutheran Church or some Presbyterian churches. It's not that they really thought this was wrong. It's that they were afraid that people would say it's either or. It's either works or it's faith. But it can't be both. When what James was actually saying is, it is both, and both are essential. We walk out of here as Christians today, and with a tremendous infusion of faith. And we go out into the world, and what do? With it? We have to do something with it. We can't just walk around with faith and say, I have faith, I have faith. I have faith, I have faith. God will not be pleased with that. In the first place, it's not a good song. In the second place, it's not what God wants. We're supposed to do something with our faith, and that's called work. And your avocation, your passion, what you are called to do, whether it's playing the violin or not, whether it's an Olympic athlete that needs to run under 5 seconds, a 50-yard dash, or a person who needs to swim forever and forever and forever and end up first, or a biker who has to stay on the bike for mile after mile. Do you ever get exhausted when you watch the Olympics? I'll tell you the ones that I get exhausted with. I know this is a side note, but The underwater, the polo, the water polo. My gosh, their legs under the water, keeping them up. I can't. You think that has no relevance, but it will in a minute. We're supposed to leave this place and go out and work in the world. Now, some of us have jobs, and then we have our passion. And we really do need to give more energy to our passion as far as working for Christ than our job when that's the case. For some of us, like me, my job is my passion. And so I put everything I can into it. But here's the thing. God never said, it's all up to me. And this is where we get into a very sticky wicket, because we human beings think that it's up to us to do it all. God gives us this infusion of energy. God sends us out, and from there on, we're supposed to do it all ourselves. What? Well, what's the point of coming back here each week then? What's the point of reading scripture? What's the point of learning more about faith? Why do we pray? Why do we sit quietly on a park bench and think about the majesty of God? Why do we, driving home from doing what we love, have this wonderful feeling of gratitude and sigh the great sigh of satisfaction knowing that we're doing God's work? In your bulletin, it says works, faith. We come back to the fountain of faith over and over again. And we've got too many people that don't do that, that are not doing that, that are not coming back to the well of faith. They go out there into the world and they're going to do it all, and it's all up to them. They've received all they need from church in one Sunday. Where'd she go? And they're going out there in the world, and it's all up to them. It's all on their shoulders. It's all on their backs. It's all on them. And what happens is they crash. They lose their peace. They lose their minds. They lose their joy for the work that they do. They lose their desire to do it. They become unhappy and lost. We see this so much now in our world. So many people are so distracted and running so hard, so fast, in circles, like a rat cage. We can't do any good works for God, because we haven't come back to the well of faith and been renewed again. James says, yes, the body is dead without breath. The body is dead without faith. The body is also dead, or faith is dead, without works. You can't just sit there and absorb all of the faith in the world and sit there and not do anything with it and expect faith to be spread anywhere. But you also can't give everything you have and completely exhaust yourself to the point where you are sick. Believe me, I tried it. It was dumb. If you want to live a faithful life, then live a life where there is balance between work and faith, between renewing your body, your mind, your soul. Rest, eat, watch the birds, watch your favorite TV show, but not all day. Walk, share time with friends. Speak of faith. Hug. Hold hands. Find that quiet center. Walk with God. So that then you can go out and do more works for God. And they'll be plentiful, and they'll be efficient, and they'll be effective, and they'll be joy-filled. Let us pray. Lord, these days we are spending way too much trying to work on our own without your help. We are spending way too much time trying to run around and get everything done, because everything must be done.
Well, what? The world falls apart? I doubt it. We're not spending enough time with you, and we're not spending enough time having our faith restored. Help us find a better balance, Lord. Let us walk with you. Listen for you. Quiet ourselves and receive your peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is the first and second verse of O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee, number 602. Please stand and sing.